Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You also might be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed because this is the Gilcast, week 7. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling for the Gilcast. I guess spoilers, just another week of absolutely owning the nerds. We all had good tournament teams, absolutely smoked in cash. Nate did not play 4 carry, 0 target Mike Davis in cash, which, to be honest, like, really the most disappointing thing of the day was that Nate told us all week he wasn't going to play him despite being 5.2K against the Miami Dolphins. It's a bummer, Nate.
With every freaking good team on the bye, Nate, you Mike Davis fading cuck, explain yourself. Why did you rob the people?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a bit at this point. I was never going to play Mike Davis in cash here. I mean, looking back, I actually had to look at it this week. I've only played him in cash twice this year. But it's like, it's just a bit at this point. But no, he was never in play today.
Will he ever be in play again for you? Is this it? Have you cured yourself of Mike Davisitis?
I don't play like that. Like someone's dead, or, I mean, it's a week by week. If he gets to a price point,
if Patterson gets hurt, I guess.
Yeah. Or if he gets to a price point where he's worth it, like, Mike Davis, no, I mean,
would not be playable right now for 4,000 DraftKings dollars.
Yeah.
He got 4 carries and 0 targets.
And 0 targets.
If him and Brandon Bolden are the same price, you're just smashing Brandon Bolden.
Dude, Bolden, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Bolden, fourth highest scoring running back in the main slate.
Bolden got passing work. I mean, this dude got, like, how many targets did he have?
I mean, he had 5 receptions on one drive. So I don't know how many total targets he got, but I know that happened. I mean, this was an absurd day of football. Like, I know my teams were good, but I really was not enjoying watching the football as it was happening, to be honest.
No, I had a bad time. Bolden, I had a bad time all day, and I won.
Like, yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
I had a great time because it was, I mean, Bolden had 7 targets on 14 routes run. I mean, it was nuts.
Well, I think they just started messing around because they were up by so much. Like, they could have played JJ Taylor there. I mean, the reason why Bolden got all the passing down stuff was they flip-flopped JJ Taylor and Ramondre again, and they made Ramondre inactive. So here, let's go through real quick. So Nate wins again, 180.84. Ugh. I got second, 166.18. Whirling Dervish. Sammy Reed, 153.3. I wonder if you guys noticed this. I lost last week. Way more invites this week. I got like 20 invites this week.
I got a bunch too. And Nate, you should have gotten most of all because Mike Davis.
I didn't. I think I got 2 or 3 invites, and then I got a couple people like DMing me on Twitter, like, what's your screen name? So I think I played like 5 people, but not enough.
You know what I'll do? When I tweet this link out, I will do a screenshot of the 3-man.
That's a good idea. I did have some guy DM me sometime during the week, and he said, enjoy the Gilcast, can you send me a head-to-head on DK because I can't figure out how to send invites. I did send him an invite, and he said, thanks, good luck, hopefully Nate sends one. Dude, it didn't even play Khalil Herbert last week, and then we laughed.
Yeah. Oh man, Khalil Herbert, by the way, Sammy, you said a lot of dumb shit in our group chat this week.
You,
like what?
Like that you wanted people to play Herbert against you when he got like 23 touches in the bonus.
Yeah, buddy. I wasn't the one who said DeAndre Swift was the worst play of the week or whatever you said.
Right? I just said, yeah, Davis, you had relative, you but had I got to eat it. I got to eat it. Yeah, I got to eat was... it. So this is my thing on Swift. Relying on the garbage time it's hard for me to get there, even though I know his target share is what it is. You know, I know all of these things. I work on the projections. I put Swift stuff in there, you know, and Swift is in optimals, whatever, maybe I'll consider him, but it's just hard for me to rely on the garbage time. But of course, if you score a 62-yard touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, you don't need garbage time. So I was definitely wrong about Swift this week. Gotta eat it. This is how you take an L gracefully, Nate. I was wrong. I was wrong to say that Swift was not a good
viable. You said he was egregious, but
Yeah, and yeah, you put out in capital letters and put a space in between each letter. So it was just E-G-R-I.
This is why I thought he was egregious. I thought there were four clear plays at the running back position in cash, and I wasn't really considering anyone else. So, like, you know, Khalil Herbert, whatever. I didn't think he was – I would have never played Khalil Herbert.
Let's talk about those plays, because I think the three plays that I played at running back combined for like 26 points total.
You got three snowflakes at the running back
position. I was all snowflake at the running back position, and it's just so I was tilting all day until
the four guys I thought were playable at running back were Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams, Chuba Hubbard, and Leonard Fournette. And I thought that Henderson was the best, Fournette was the second best, and it was a total coin flip between Daryl and Chuba. And, you know, Nate basically just played Swift over the – Nate. Over oh, Chuba no, I see
he,
what –
Because he didn't have 100 bucks.
Yeah, Nate, I didn't have the 100 bucks.
Nate had extra salary because he played
Hurts. Let's like, put the lineups out there.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So Nate's team – Jalen Hurts, Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Hunter Renfrow, Foster Moreau, DeAndre Swift, Cardinals defense. I played Lamar Jackson, Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams, Godwin, Kupp, Bateman, Foster Moreau, Leonard Fournette, Cardinals defense. Sammy played Jalen Hurts, Chuba Hubbard, Daryl Williams, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Rashad Bateman, Ricky Seals-Jones, Daryl Henderson, and the Cardinals defense.
Yeah, did put the late game running back in my flex this week. I'm sure everyone's happy to know. Although I didn't swap out of it as I probably should have.
No, because I was obviously, you guys know, I was looking at swaps pretty closely. And one, we ran super bad with Lamar not coming in on that last drive. There were 7 minutes left and they put Huntley in. Lamar was... I ran really bad then. I thought one of you played him, but he was 17 no. yards away from the rushing bonus and 43 yards away from the passing bonus with 7 minutes left, and they pulled him. So I was thinking I wasn't going to have to
they late got, they got I, run. Sorry. I just have to point this they out. They got ran. Run that hard by the Cincinnati Bengals at home that they had to pull Lamar Jackson with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That is
it's really bad.
That is the egregious.
Yeah. The offense was just terrible. Well, we can talk more about that stuff later. So let's do running backs first, which was, it's kind of a multi-layered discussion. One, Nate, what was your thinking on, not playing Chuba, who I think was the most owned running back in cash games? I'm looking real quick. I got to scroll all the way down. Yeah. He was the most owned or second most owned running back in cash games behind Henderson.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Chuba for sure. I actually had Chuba above Swift at lock. I wanted Chuba. The three, yeah, I think I was looking at four running backs or five running backs. It's kind of the four that you were looking at plus Swift.
Yeah, I was
I think all week my team was Jalen, Chuba, Darrell, Bateman, Kupp, Godwin, Seals, Henderson, and Cardinals D. But this morning after the Waller news, it was clear to me at like 11 o'clock that Waller was like, he was going to be out. He was doubtful, trending towards out. And I thought Renfrow became such a better play than Bateman. I just thought the floor for Renfrow in a spot like this versus Bateman was so much higher. And that Moreau became a like lock of all locks.
Yeah.
Saving $1,200. So it really became a Renfrow Moreau off of Seals Jones and Bateman, except I lost $100. So I had to go down to Swift. And I thought Swift projected within like, I mean, it was literally a 3/10 of a point.
Yeah.
It was 3/10 of a point from Chuba. So I was fine going Swift over Chuba, but it wasn't I wanted Swift over Chuba. Like I actually had Chuba better play. It was just, The decision point for me was the Waller news. And that was what changed me from the essentially the same team that you guys had. So
let's just talk about that point, because I was, you know, I was considering it, but I decided to stick with Ricky Seals-Jones. My reasoning was that, you know, we weren't sure that Waller was going to be out, even though it did look sketch, right? I mean, the guy like popped up on the injury report. You know, the Schefters and Rappaports were like, yeah, he's not feeling good. You know, he's going to try and pregame this and that. But I really didn't like the, I guess the option was to swap to Cole Kmet. If
the swaptions were there, they were not great. The swaptions were fine. And the reason why the swaptions were fine was that tight end was just such a goddamn mess this week. I didn't really think I was going to be losing that many projected points if I had to play Kmet or OJ Howard or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
And the other thing about that team is if you play that team, the only early lock that you had was Darrell Williams. So your whole lineup could have been moved around based on information. Well, you could have looked at ownership from the earlier games. You could have pivoted off Hurts to Stafford. I mean, you could have literally done anything. It wasn't just the tight end pivot. You had so much more information to build your lineup.
Sammy told me what I did was fish, which was I played Lamar. So I played Lamar instead of Hurts. It's fucking Lamar. Lamar was terrible today. His team got boat raced and he got 23, which actually is the same thing that happened to Jalen Hurts.
Same thing that happened to Hurts.
I'm not saying I'm not going to be playing Hurts was bad, but just for me in my head, I'm like, Lamar's $400 more. I should probably just play Lamar. But what I did that Sammy said was bad was I played, cause I much like Nate, I had Darrell Williams for literally the same thing that happened to Nate. I had Darrell Williams for 16.2 points, and I had Hubbard for 15.8 points. So it was a total coin flip, but the $200 there made it so that I could just 1v1 Kmet versus Moreau if I needed to. And Sammy was like,
in practice, what this means is you left $500 on the table. And yes, I did.
But I continue to think it's fish. I think that's mentally weak logic, because if I just sent a lineup with Kmet in it, you would have been like, yeah, that's fine. But
no,
but,
I would not have. That is incorrect.
Kmet was this week.
Yeah, I actually don't know where I stand on this. Normally, I would agree with Sammy, but I actually do think that because of the way that salary works, it actually ends up being a bias against you where you feel the need to use it all, even if it's not an optimal construction.
I had Darrell for more points and Moreau for more points.
Yeah. Davis almost played suboptimally just to use the salary. And I think Sammy, that's what you're saying would have been sharper. And in this instance, I don't think it was. And
it's I'm saying if you've built a lineup that you think is optimal with $500 left on the table, you should tear that bitch down and rebuild it.
But what was I going to do? Because I was never playing. I think what Nate did playing Renfro was fine, but I felt pretty strongly about playing Lamar. So the only other thing that I could have done would be what Nate would have done, which was play Jalen Hurts and play Renfro over Bateman. And I mean, I think everyone played fine this week, so I'm not trying to dunk on anyone, but I think not playing Bateman at 3,400 was I don't want to say bad, but I don't think it was good. I think Bateman.
I get why Nate did what he did because Renfro is just a far, far safer player. Yes. I mean, he just gets these low ADOT targets. They go out of their way to get him the ball. In a way he's generally not going to disappear from the game in the same way that Bateman certainly can. He got six low ADOT targets last week. Great. But would you be surprised if he went 0 for 0 on two targets this week? I wouldn't have.
The passing volume is not there.
Yeah, I liked Bateman and I played Bateman, but I think that what Nate did was sharp, and I liked getting Renfro in there.
Dude, so. the Lamar has had more passing attempts per game than Joe Burrow. I don't buy the idea that the Bengals are a low volume passing offense.
The Bengals are definitely playing a little bit different than they started the year, but I don't think that Bateman had any floor at all. I think his second game in play in a team that doesn't in a team that doesn't necessarily want to have a high volume passing offense, in a team where Lamar and these running backs could totally just run the ball 35 times and you wouldn't be shocked at all.
That's where I disagree. I think the fact that all these running backs are so bad now means that the time of the Ravens running the ball that often is, and we have this change in our projections. I don't want to speak for other people who do projections, but I am seeing compared to years past. I'm seeing way higher ceiling projections and median projections on Mark Andrews, on Hollywood Brown, even on you know, secondary guys, because the run pass ratio for Baltimore is shifting because these running backs are so bad that they don't want to run.
Well, and I don't know if you guys read the, I think it was on the Ringer, their article. It was either this week or last week about how Lamar's deep passing efficiency has been so amazing this year, like how he's really stepped up as a player in terms of his deep passing, and Baltimore's taking advantage of that and putting defenses in a real bind with their safeties, right? Do they try to stop the run with Lamar? Well, now he can go intermediate to Andrews. If they try to take that away, he's actually just been so, so good throwing deep to like Hollywood and Bateman and Andrews that you're really like putting teams in a bind. Now, obviously they got blown out by Cincinnati, so who knows, but he has been a great downfield passer this year.
Yeah, but Bateman wasn't running downfield. We have no idea who Bateman is and what he is for this offense. So to assume that he's going to get these downfield.
That's not true. He's just playing the same. He's just playing Sammy Watkins's position.
I'm hesitant. No. I don't think we had enough data going into this game. I agree with Nate. We didn't have enough data going into this game to know. Like I said, I played Bateman. I thought he was a strong value, but when we're talking floor and cash games, I thought it was sharp that Nate went up and got a guy who was not going to give him zero.
Yeah. Renfro, the Renfro Moreau thing versus the Renfro Moreau floor versus Bateman and Ricky Seals Jones floor is significantly different.
I was never playing Ricky Seals Jones. I mean, I don't like,
you don't like playing a tight end who gets 100% of the snaps at 3,500.
Cause I just didn't like what it did. I didn't like what it did to the teams. I mean, I had Ricky Seals Jones projected for a 20% target share, which is really aggressive for a tight end. And he still really was not getting into optimals for us because, looking back on it, it looks bad now, but it's because OJ Howard and Cole Kmet were feeding into all these teams.
Well, Ricky Seals Jones was a good play at his price. And he was fine.
So here's the other part that I was a little rocky on. And this comes down to like my lack of knowledge about kind of the Raiders depth chart, right?
No other tight ends.
Yeah, would Foster Moreau, because, you know, Moreau gets some work even when Waller's in there. So, like, would Moreau step in and, like, just take the Waller role, or would they
or do the running back thing?
Yeah, would they rotate tight? And I wasn't quite sure that they'd give him, like, a 90% snap share off the bat. I just – that came to a lack of knowledge. I didn't really feel comfortable with it. Obviously, a $2,500 tight end on a team that, like, likes to throw their tight ends is a good play. But considering I wasn't sure about the snap rate if Waller was out and wasn't sure if Waller was going to be out, I stuck with RSJ. It might've been mentally weak, but that was my thought process.
If we really want to get in the weeds here, the other Raiders tight end who has trolled us in the past, Derek Carrier, you know, he's on the IR. So that was like, I was like, there's not a way that Moreau does not play basically the same snaps that Ricky Seals Jones did. And we don't have snap counts yet, but I bet when they come out tomorrow, and because he was out there a lot.
He was out there a lot. And I don't know.
It was just Darren Waller wearing number 87. He's 2.5, and I didn't play him. Like, it's just so bad.
This is your brand. Sammy, this is your brand. Playing.
Buddy, my tight end brand is in shambles. Like
this is Ross Dwelly on the Raiders, dude. What are you doing?
Oh, my God. Yeah, this
to
is
me, the
this
interesting
is Mike
thing wasn't it, – it wasn't that I played Foster. It was what was I going to do if Waller was in. That was like all the early slate.
I had a couple of different plans. What was your plan?
Well, I had like four or five different teams built, but then I was just looking. I kept on looking at just ownership of what the early slate was owned, and everybody was bombing. So I had so many outs. Like if I felt like
even,
I was behind,
even Ridley, who was owned, I think he got like 17, maybe.
Yeah, and most of his were at the end.
He got 26 yards, I think.
Yeah,
but he's no good. Running backs had like more than double digits in the early slate. So I was sitting there going, I could just throw out a tournament lineup at this point if I needed to, like if I was behind, because I only locked one guy in the early slate. So even if Waller was in, there were so many options in this late slate. I can't remember the last time we had a slate that was this separated where the afternoon slate was so bad.
It was so much better.
I wish Waller was in and you guys had pivoted to like OJ Howard. because OJ.
I probably would have.
So yeah. That
OJ
was
Howard
my
was so bad.
My swap was either straight up to Cole Kmet because I had the 500, or it was getting up to OJ Howard and going from Fournette to Brandon Cooks, I think.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love you, Davis. I don't want you to lose money, but like that would have been epic.
I could have played Swift though, too.
Wouldn't have played Swift.
You could have done anything. You could have gotten up to Brady. You could have gotten Brady Evans. If you felt like you were behind, anything. You could have done one thing. If you felt like you wanted to go with the chalk, you could have done one thing.
You know what? If I really felt that I was behind, and luckily I didn't, I would have played Henry Ruggs. Ruggs would have been the guy if I really felt that I was chasing.
Yeah.
Like I said that going in. It was like the part of the reason I liked it was that you could swap to Ruggs, who, you know, obviously can get there on like three targets.
Yeah, you could have gotten I probably would have gotten off Cardinals defense to get down to Kmet and kept the rest of my build because I felt so confident about the guys. I can't remember last time I felt like this confident about a receiver. But Cup was, I think I had him in 100% of my tournament lineups as well. He was just so clearly like everything about Cups in this spot. It was just unfadable to me. And I had like, he broke pretty much everything that I have of like his expected ownership to what it should be. It was like, you have to play him
when we flipped over in the afternoon games and I asked what he was owned and you're like 25%. I'm like, holy shit.
That was insane.
What are people doing?
It was because
he was 18% in the red zone. 18% in a single entry. What are people doing?
I was dust.
Well, I'll tell you why it happened.
And Ricky Seals Jones. Like, I didn't have anything. I was dust. And I just played Cooper Kupp. And that was it. That's all that happened. And none of us faded Cooper Kupp. And it's a good week.
People split Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp. Davante Adams was 20.5% owned in the massive $25. Cooper Kupp was 30%. So I still think he was, let me sort by ownership here. So Godwin was the most owned, Bateman the second, Calvin Ridley got 12 as the third, and Cooper Kupp was only the fourth most owned wide receiver.
Can't have it. The nerds are tilting.
Yeah. I mean, they're the, yeah.
He's the new Michael Thomas, right, Nate?
Yeah.
No, he's the new Randy Moss, dude. We're like Michael Thomas was never this dominant with touchdowns. Michael Thomas would get 11 receptions in the bonus every single game, but you were not locking in a touchdown every single week this way with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and the thing that's cool about Kupp is he goes deep now. Like they bomb him the ball, dude. It's amazing.
Well, it's because
he runs all sorts of routes. He's every invisible. Little thing you can think of. He runs running back wheel routes. He runs deep routes. He runs slants. He runs all over the field.
He runs the Eric Decker touchdown play. Yes. He runs everything.
Except,
call the play and put him in a running back position next to Stafford, and then he ran a running back wheel route.
Every time he runs that option route from the backfield, it is a guaranteed completion. I've never seen that play fail for them.
He makes incredible decisions. He's an incredible route runner, and Stafford wants to get him the ball every time. And so it's just like, And LA is going to throw the ball so often. So yeah, I think Davante Adams probably more talented, all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, like Kupp is unfadable.
More talented.
I think Davante is like, yeah, Davante, I think agree. Is the most talented wide receiver by far.
Yeah, probably. AJ Brown, maybe. AJ Brown is disgusting. All right.
AJ Brown was the only good part of my Mahomes double stack teams.
I mean, like, I don't Leonard Fournette. I hate that I have to be this guy, but neither of you guys played Fournette, and I'm not saying it wasn't bad to play him, but he was my clear number two behind Darrell Henderson, which is funny because Darrell Henderson had this like terrible game, like.
Well, I had Fournette in the. I thought it, for me it was Darrell Henderson was the lock, and then it was two of Chuba Fournette, and you know Swift and I thought they were all really close. I had Fournette originally. I had Fournette and the Giants D.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I had
the Giants D all week, and then I just got too scared of eating a freaking 24 burger from the Cardinal.
I did too, bro. I was like, Arizona DST is gonna bury me, and I went down to Daryl, and up from Fournette and up to the Arizona DST, because I was like, I was worried about the Arizona DST.
Yeah, Fournette was great. It was just that like five, what was he, $600 more than Darrell, $300 more than Chuba, yeah. $200. I mean, that $400 actually meant a lot on this slate, because
not it, to Davis, like, pushed he was just you leaving off $500 deep on the table. It was no big deal.
Well, I was just in a, it was just in a weird spot. I just got myself in a weird spot. I mean, I would have had 300 left over if I would have just straight up played Chuba over Darrell, which would have been completely immaterial to the slate. Those guys were a total coin flip. I the reason I did it was to leave myself extra salary for swapping.
Yeah, which so in theory I think is fine. But $500 is just probably too much. Let's talk about the Chiefs.
I want to talk about Darrell Williams. I want to talk about a couple other cash plays that a lot of people got onto at like 11 o'clock that we didn't play. And I want to hear just kind of what your guys' thoughts were. Those, the Miami guys with Waddle and Gesicki.
Both were really good plays, I think.
Or Pettis from the Giants got a lot of ownership.
Pettis was in non-Moreau optimals that I saw, and they were like, it was like Pettis, Gesicki, and like Renfro or Jacoby Myers over Bateman, Godwin.
Godwin, I looked
Moreau.
I mean, I looked
at the Gesicki team.
Yeah, so Gesicki was one of my most owned GPP plays. He has had like elite usage since he basically didn't play hardly at all in week one. And since then, and especially since week four, his usage has been completely elite. It didn't fit with the build that I wanted to do, but like he was a great play. And yeah, I played him a lot in tournaments. Pettis, I didn't really consider. I was worried about John Ross III.
Yeah, I mean, Pettis is like, he just is the slot wide receiver, which is like the only throws that Daniel Jones can make consistently. Tough scene for the Carolina Panthers. 3-0 to start the year. People were touting their Super Bowl futures that they got.
Oh my God. Well, let's talk about Chuba for a minute, because Abdullah was active and we were talking a little bit before Locke about, does that affect Chuba's outlook? During the game, it actually didn't. But like, how did you guys approach that?
That was what made me feel comfortable playing Darrell instead. It was just because Rodney Smith was coming off the practice squad, and it was the Cowboys game. He really influenced Chuba's playing time, and then when he went back down to the practice squad, it did the reverse, and Chuba was playing way more, and so. Just the threat of that being there when a backfield goes from two guys to three guys, you know, we knew the Chiefs were just going to be two, which is why I felt a little bit better about Darrell.
But it actually ended up being just Royce Freeman. Royce Freeman was the one who took 50% of the work from Chuba. Chuba actually split with Royce. Royce ran more routes than Chuba. Royce ran 21 routes to Chuba's 18. And then Royce saw 45% of the snaps and Chuba saw 53. Like it was...
I just think that's just some of because the game was completely.
Yeah, it was. Chuba was playing more as the game went on. Like he ended up, I mean, he had a great first quarter. And I think he had like 9 rushes and 2 catches at the half, you know, and you're just like, okay, this is good. And then it just completely fell apart for Carolina. And they just literally couldn't do anything but 3 and out and turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, that was frustrating because I had some Chuba. Some seasonal stuff, but yeah, overall I thought the running back position was pretty close with those four. I don't think if you played one of those guys, I don't think you made a mistake.
How many times am I gonna watch one of these dusty Ravens running backs score a touchdown when Lamar gets them down to the 1 yard line? Like how many times am I gonna be? Lamar had the bonus and then it got called back by penalty, and then Joe Mixon scores a 28 yard rushing touchdown. And Samaj Perine scores like a 48-yard rushing touchdown, and that's just it. And it's just over.
Well, as a man who is forced to play Devonta Freeman in like 2 seasonal leagues this week because of buys, I wasn't angry about it, you know? I was like, oh yeah, there's D-Free. You know, good to see him out there limping around. It's great.
All right. We're burying the lead a little bit. Let's get to Davis. Davis, I think it's time for you to take a W. You had a smash tournament
team. Let's go, Davis.
Yep. So I had a really good tournament team. Let me find it. So it was a Matthew Stafford double stack in the $50 red zone single entry. Matt Stafford, Fat Len, Darrell Williams got 8, not great. Cooper Kupp, 3 touchdown, Mike Evans, AJ Brown with 30, Foster Moreau with 18, Van Jefferson with 14, and the Cardinals defense with 11. Lennon had a chance to do it for me. Got a carry from the 1 yard line, lost 3 yards. Got a target in the end zone and just didn't come close to catching it. What it was like a $22,000 swing.
Yeah, a 0.33 Bitcoin swing. That's brutal.
Yeah, a $20,000 swing on that drop. Ugh.
But
dude, that was a great.
Yeah.
Good team. Good team. Talk about your process and like putting it together.
So you know,
having Evans was great. So
I was telling you guys this morning, I was like running behind this. I went to the gym this morning and like kind of woke up a little bit late. So I was just like, and like messing with seasonal teams and stuff. So I was doing tournament teams like 30 minutes before, which most of the time I have them set. And I, my 3 teams this week were Stafford double stacks, Brady double stacks, and Mahomes double stacks, which I thought was, you know, pretty close to the optimal way to allocate. And I definitely thought that Mike Evans at what I expected to be like 8% ownership, what he was actually 10. I just thought he seemed a lot, basically the same range of outcomes to what Chris Godwin would be able to do. But, you know, Godwin was probably the most owned wide receiver in tournaments. I know he was the most owned wide receiver in cash. Obviously you got to do Kupp with Stafford, and then Van Jefferson. It's just like, you know, he basically runs the same amount of routes as Robert Woods. Woods just kind of gets, you know, and Woods got more usage in this game too, but with the, cause there were not like, I did not like that 5K range of wide receivers, like, you know, Devonta Smith and Henry Ruggs and stuff, like they were fine, but I didn't want to like force my lineup around that. I would much rather get I just wanted Kupp and I wanted Mike Evans. So I was like, yeah, I'll just play Van Jefferson as double. The thing that feels bad looking at this team is playing the 40% owned Arizona Cardinals defense. It's like one of the things we know is like, just do not play the defense that's most owned. And I don't think I would have, but I was messing around on FanDuel this week and I noticed that the Cardinals were the max salary there. They were 5,000 on FanDuel. And that kind of mentally weaked my head. I played the Cardinals on all of my teams, actually.
They were such an underpriced defense. Like, that's a defense that DraftKings
is normally. But it is. It's almost like showdown logic, where when a price is so attractive, it actually makes them a worse play. And I think we saw that with the Cardinals. Like, yeah. I think at $2,000, thought experiment, if the Arizona Cardinals were $2,000 and they were going to be 50% of the teams in tournaments were going to own them, I still think they're probably a fade, which means that I played bad, I think.
I think that's right. I pivoted at that price point to a lot of Green Bay DST in tournaments because they were, I think, 3.3. That was the way I got off of Arizona. But yeah, they were so attractive and it's just such a smash spot that I get it. But yeah, little mentally weak. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the Eagles D in a lot of teams, but actually
I played them on one
halfway through the afternoon or halfway through the early games. I was looking at my teams and my early slate. I barely locked anybody early. I had a lot of Robert Tonyan, and Robert Tonyan went off at like 3% ownership. And so I actually adjusted most of my tournament teams halfway through and went onto Cardinals, onto more chalky stacks. Fun, yeah. And ended up with like, I think 80% of my teams were Brady double stacks. I think I had like 80% Brady double stacks, like 20% Stafford double stacks. And then I had, and then I had some Tua from the early games. But yeah, overall, I think that was the optimal way to build this week. I couldn't believe how little owned Brady was in tournaments. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think people just assume that, I don't know.
Brady was 5%. Stafford was 12%. Let me sort by ownership. So the most owned quarterbacks in single entry were, Matt Ryan at 12%, Lamar at 12%, Mahomes at 11%. I mean, quarterback never gets that chalky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But with Brown being out, you know exactly where this volume is going in this Tampa Bay offense. I mean, it's going to go to Evans. It's going to go to Godwin. It's going to go to Fournette. And then maybe a bit to Tyler Johnson or OJ Howard. But like, I don't know. Like I there was just no chance Brady wasn't going to throw four touchdowns here, and that you knew where they were going. And I don't remember the last time we've had that clear of a shot at low ownership. So I thought the Brady double stack was like, yeah, was smash. But so yeah, most of my teams are that. I think the team that I had in the red zone that we play was Brady, Fournette.
That's interesting. You felt like that was fine.
Yeah, I thought the Brady, Fournette, Godwin thing was fine, because I thought with the Bucs getting up, I figured Fournette's going to get more work. I didn't expect Ronald Jones to get the goal line touches.
Well, that was just Rand, I think, because of the score.
And if Brady connects with Fournette on the passing touchdown, it's all good. It's all gravy, it's all baby.
Yeah. And then the bummer about this lineup was I had Jacoby Myers, but my early slate lock was Robert Tonyan. And so when he went off, I got a lot chalkier. And so then I went with three Rams in this lineup as well, with Darrell Henderson, Cooper Kupp, and Van Jefferson. So I had Cooper Kupp in pretty much every one of my lineups. And then I also had Falcons D at 2%. So after the early slate locked, I had a 4% Jacoby Myers, 2% Robert Tonyan, and a 2% Falcons. I was like, I don't care about ownership in this late slate. I'm just going to go with who I think is the best plays, because I felt like the Robert Tonyan thing put me so far ahead, because he outscored Kelsey at like 25%.
So the one thing that I was definitely monitoring was like Godwin at what I expected him to be owned was like, I only would have played him with Brady. And I think, you know, doing Fournette, doing OJ Howard, you know, doing one of those other low owned things was the right way to do, but like skinny Brady with Godwin, Godwin as a one-off, like I didn't do Godwin as a one-off on any of these teams, and did not think he was. I just didn't think he was a good one-off, which he obviously was very popular.
Which he was,
if Brady is 5% and Godwin is 32% or whatever.
Yeah, I think your one-offs are where you want to gain that leverage, not just
AJ Brown. AJ Brown was like, if I am looking at what I did right, playing AJ Brown as a one-off and not in Mahomes stuff was what I did right. And then everything else in this lineup is pretty well. And Foster Moreau also just being willing to play a $2,500 Foster Moreau.
To me, the difficult thing in tournaments this week was the bring back discussion. This was the first time I've built my single entry teams without bring backs. I did zero bring backs. I didn't have anybody from Detroit, and I didn't have anybody from Chicago. And it was the first time I built tournament teams in 7 weeks with that. And yeah, I don't know if that's optimal. I'm still new to tournament. Like, I mean, I had a good week. I finished like top 10% in most things. And then I think I had a sweat in like the Engage 8, but the 3-max stuff. But yeah, overall, I don't know if that was optimal this week or not. But yeah, Sammy,
these Lions bring backs have just been so dust, and the Bears so bring dust. Backs, and the Bears bring backs are even more dusty, and the Texans bring backs are somehow even more dusty. So it was just like the Titans were the one massive spread where you wanted to bring backs, and then ended up that the Chiefs are fucking terrible.
Yeah. The only stacks I thought you could build were the KC Tennessee game or the Atlanta Miami game. I thought pretty much every other build should have been no bring back.
Would you run, Sammy?
Let me take a look in the small red zone. Let's see. So I actually did. So I did a Green Bay double stack without a bring back. Obviously, this was a game where McLaurin smashed on the way back. Nuts. So yeah, unfortunate. But I did do Rodgers, Tonyan, and Devontae Adams on this team. I went chalky. So I thought that was fairly contrarian. I didn't think a lot of people would own a lot of Green Bay in that way.
The second guys especially.
Exactly. I did play Daryl Henderson and Daryl Williams at running back. Brandon Cooks and Christian Kirk were my other receivers.
Brandon Cooks as a one-off.
Yeah, tough scene. Very tough scene. And yes, not good, Chief. I did play Tyler Johnson in this lineup, and then the Patriots defense.
Okay. I actually don't hate the Tyler Johnson one-off, to be honest. Like, I think he's basically the same play as Van Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like, obviously with Daryl Henderson, I didn't want to have Van Jefferson also, you know, as like two one-offs. And I didn't want to play the Green Bay DST because I was doing a Green Bay stack, which is why I went with New England. But, you know, I think it was an okay idea, I guess. But, you know, at the end of the day, like this, it wasn't a real good lineup, not real successful. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, so I probably will go the whole year without doing Rodgers double stacks because of like the pin the tail on the donkey nature of like, is it going to be Lazard? Is it going to be Tonyan? Is it going to be Randall Cobb? You know? And then also the fact that like a huge chunk of their production also goes to Aaron Jones. And like, I think you can double stack with running backs who catch passes, but Aaron Jones is always a shitty price point for doing that. He's always like 7,200. And every week there's some $6,500 running back who ends up being the nuts. Like it feels like the new meta on DraftKings is actually not playing the 9K running backs and playing 9K wide receivers and 6K running backs. Whereas in the past, we used to load up on the 9K running backs and play the 6K wide receivers.
Yeah, what you should be doing is playing Brandon Bolden and Damian Harris in the same lineup because I saw that winning a bunch of tournaments this week. And
yeah,
like,
just smash.
Who builds this?
Yeah, most of my stuff was like Mahomes and Brady double stacks. I just happened to play. This is like Mahomes, the smallest single entries that I play. So I threw it.
Well, at least we won't have to deal with torturing ourselves with Chiefs players anymore because it looks like Mahomes is hurt.
I mean, Tennessee turned him into absolute dust today. Like
it wasn't anything Tennessee did. They are just a broken unit, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, analytically, I find it very hard to explain, but it just looks like it's just bad, dude.
Well,
just looks
I'll explain it because my wife comes down and, you know, she's like watching the kid and stuff, and she like takes a look at the screen and sees the score, and she's like, what's happening in Kansas City? And I'm like, they're not good. And she's like, do they still have Mahomes? I'm like, yeah. She's like, what do you mean they're not good? And I said, well, they really only have three good players. They have Mahomes, Kelsey, and Tyreek Hill. And
that's basically always been true for them. And it hasn't really mattered. It's just that to me, it's a combination of a couple things. One, the defense is so bad and the offense knows the defense is so bad. So that's like in their heads that they have to score every drive. Yeah, I mean, people are so sick of this talking point, but the turnover stuff has been fluky. Like Mahomes' first interception today popped off of Josh Gordon's hands and into, like, people hate to acknowledge the randomness that's inherent in that stuff. But then also it's like, Mahomes has run so good on turnovers. What, he only threw six interceptions all of last year, despite having like, you know, 16 interception worthy throws or whatever per PFF. So now he's running bad. The coaching staff knows they're running bad. And so their play calling is different and weird. And we saw it a little bit at the beginning of the second half. They were like, oh, this is the Chiefs again. They're doing the weird little screens and Tyreek Hill is running 30 yards on a reverse. I'm like, oh shit.
They're throwing hook and ladders with Travis Kelce.
And then the second something goes wrong, it's third and eight. They just go into a shell again and start kicking field goals. And it's like, it feels like it's obviously, yes, part of it is talent and like having to rely on, you know, Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle. But to me, it does feel part of it's like everyone in the organization is in their heads a little bit.
I think it's more that than even the talent. I think it's more that I think at the end of the day, Mahomes is still playing at an above average level. Tyreek and Kelce are still the same talent that they've always been. And I think what you're seeing is just variants play out on a football field, except it's affecting the play calling and it's making everybody operate differently instead of just continuing to lean into the variants and trust that the talent of these exceptional players is going to win out over the long run. And it's a bummer because it's like, you're wasting the primes of some of these players that like, I don't know. It's a bummer because you're like watching a guy like Andy Reid who like should be used to leaning into the variance at this point, but it's like a poker player who's making some like experiencing some variance and then just making bad decisions. Well, and doubling down on that.
We like, there's like some small insights on this stuff. Like when Kelce was on TV with the Mannings a couple weeks ago, he was talking about how like, oh yeah, you know, I don't really like run routes. I kind of just go out there and like do my thing, and Pat knows how to find me, which like probably is really fun when you're scoring 40 points a game and winning the Super Bowl. But when you're down 21 points at half and, you know, you have a losing record and you might not make the playoffs, that's probably like a little like that. That's probably like Kelsey's probably like, shit, like I need to, Pat needs to know exactly where I'm at, because if I don't and we miss and we miscommunicate, he's going to throw an interception. This stuff all goes like nine levels deep, but I'm done caring about the Chiefs. I will tune back into them next year.
It's just so hard in football to be good for a long time.
Yeah.
Like windows just close. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the window is closed because they have Patrick Mahomes, but like Travis Kelce's what, like 32, something like that. Like
Kelce is 32 and Tyreek is 27, I think.
Yeah, it's just like, it's hard to be good year after year. Like things end. So I don't know.
Tyreek is 27. I mean, it's not gonna end. But you want to know the real fucking kick in the ass about this whole thing. Mahomes' insane contract hasn't even kicked in yet. They're not even paying him the absurd amount of money that he's owed yet. Like they're in total cap hell, and they've wasted all these first round picks, and they're not even paying him like $35 million a year yet.
Yeah. CEH first round pick. Who would have thought that they didn't have that
one
to burn?
This is what the Chiefs have done with their first round picks in the Mahomes era. They traded it for Frank Clark, who's ass. They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they traded for Orlando Brown, who's like fine, but you got to pay him a bunch of money, right? Like you would almost maybe rather have a below average lineman who you're not paying a ton of money to than an average offensive lineman that you have this huge contract extension to. It's a mess, dude. It's a full ass mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good, Bob. Not good. Well, at least we still have Kyler Murray. At least we can just pivot our stuff onto Kyler Murray.
Kyler looked like he almost died today.
He did. He did almost die.
Yeah. It was really bad. The Cardinals stuff right now is really frustrating for our purposes because there's no alpha. Their target distribution today, 5 for Zach Ertz, 3 for AJ Green, 9 for DeAndre Hopkins, 5 for Kirk, 3 for Rondale, no rushes for Rondale today, 3 for Chase Edmonds. Rondale has kind of cucked the entire offense.
Yes, he has. And Kyler doesn't really run anymore. Like, not like he used to.
So I think he will in their more competitive games, but I mean, how many hard games have they had to play this year? So they played one competitive game against the Vikings. They blew the Jags out. They blew the Rams out. There was no threat they were ever going to lose to the 49ers. They were blowing the Browns out the entire game, and this game was not competitive from the kick. Now, when they play home to the Packers next week, I could see that being a spot where he runs a little bit more, or home to the Rams in December. I could see that being a spot, but because he's become so proficient passing, he just doesn't need to do it anymore.
The one guy I feel comfortable with in that offense that is going to erupt is Chase Rondale. Edmonds.
Rondale is going to erupt.
No, Chase saw 70% of the snaps in this game. He only saw two targets, but he ran 25 routes. He matched Christian Kirk's routes. He was like the I think he ran third or fourth most routes and had 15 rushing attempts. I mean, he outsnapped James Conner like four times in this game. And I think he's the one
to get all the touchdowns. Like it's just, I mean,
yes, it's all variance. Yes. It's all variance that makes you think that Conner is like the guy. They actually like all of the underlying stuff shows that Edmonds is the guy that they want. He's more talented. Like there's going to be an eruption spot here for Edmonds and everybody's going to be like, wait, he had three straight weeks of 70% snap share. How did we not see this coming? Like, it's coming.
I definitely made a Kyler, Nuke, and Connor double stack GPP team this week. Like I wanna have shares of Edmonds in GPPs.
I mean, I think right now that's a fine way to play the Cardinals. I think you just pick one of AJ Green, Christian Kirk, and Rondale Moore when you're playing Kyler, and if you want to throw Edmonds in on a given week. But I just think you pick one of the,
what do you think Rondale's doing? Rondale's out there for like less than 50% of the snaps and only running like routes on like 50% of the passing plays. He's not the guy that you like. Yeah, I want Rondale as much as anybody.
I think Kirk is, I mean, the number
Kirk has the better role. Rondale has maybe slightly lower
Rondale was sixth in routes run this week. He was behind Zach Ertz, Christian Kirk, Chase Edmonds, AJ Green, and DeAndre.
Most weeks. But he has, so one, they give him the gadget stuff around the goal line. But then two, I mean, we saw it against the Vikings. He just has more of the explode, like the absurd efficiency stuff that AJ Green and Christian Kirk.
Buddy, Zach Ertz cucked him for the
How amazing is Zach Ertz adding yards after the catch for the first time in his career? That was unbelievable. That was unreal.
Good for the old Superflex team, Davis. We swapped for Darren Waller. Let's go, Zach.
Is there a team with a bigger talent delta between like the guys who are getting the touches versus the guys who should be getting the touches? I mean, we have Zach Ertz, James Conner, and AJ Green like significant work. And then you have Chase Edmonds, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, like who are now becoming like relegated. And it's like, what are you doing?
I don't know. AJ Green's acquitting himself quite fine, I think.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Green does not look, I mean, he looks fine. I mean, obviously you'd still rather the touches be going to Rondale, but I mean, let's see, who do we have on bye next week? Week 8 byes.
Two teams on bye, I think. Like, this was the big week.
Oh, thank God. Thank God Lamar can't do it to me next week. The Ravens are on bye.
Congrats.
Saved. Yeah.
Congrats. I guess we don't have to keep checking for where Mike Davis is playing anymore. It sucks.
Who do the Falcons play next week?
Price him at 4-4 and I'm back.
Oh, buddy, they're home to the Panthers.
Oh, snaps. Nate.
$4,400 Mike Davis home to the Panthers is really going to tempt Nate.
It's time.
I'm prepared to give back everything I just won.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. All right. I mean, I think that's
That's it. Let's go buy some Bitcoin with our spoils, man.
This new brand of our show is not as fun. Nobody like when it. All of us are winning and like Sammy, somebody's gotta make some bad plays next week.
Everyone's mad.
This is not fun. Our listeners have to be just dropping.
Well, look, bro. I mean, look inward. Look in the mirror. Like you're the
one. You think you're joking, but they're not. People are listening to the show less on weeks we win. I look at it, and I on the weeks where we all win, people listen less.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
What can you do, man?
We just keep playing Cooper Kupp, and you know it's like you can't help it.
Well, it's like Cooper Kupp is gonna have to be. He's gonna have to be like CMC price to not play him. Did Davante Adams ever get to 10K last year when he was doing his like 18 touchdown thing?
I think he might have.
I think he did.
Yeah, maybe one.
I think he did.
And I bet we probably played him.
Dude, he was projecting for like 2 touchdowns and 125 yards every game. Like it was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just got to jam him in. And right now, Cooper Kupp is just straight.
Cooper Kupp is a stone cold jam him in. Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully with, hopefully someone loses because the best shows are just when someone loses and that person gets dunked on for being shitty. Yeah,
we need it to be Nate.
We need Cordarrelle Patterson to like be on the injury report and for beat writers to be like, yeah, I don't know. Like he's going to be active, but we'll see. Well, he's going to give it a go. Yeah,
that'll be it.
Yeah, that's what we need. All right, everyone.
The variance has been in my favor too much this year. It's coming to an end soon.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week, everybody.